Yo, what is up, everyone? Riven here. Thank you so much for checking out this episode. This is our first episode back after a long hiatus. We sat down with Fearless Leader, Adventure Noodle, Behemoth Cell, Artos, and myself to discuss platforms. Anything from Twitch to Mixer, discussing the pros and cons, why people chose the specific platform they're on to grow on, and what makes them stand that platform to grow their community, and why they chose it over a different one. We also got into topics of discussion like Xbox and PC, and the exclusivity behind them, and then, you know, the war that goes on behind PC versus console war. We had little discussions on that. Otherwise, it's a really great episode. It's a little close to 2 hours, but I hope you guys enjoy it. We'll be doing these every Saturday night, and it can be ranging from beer to food to gaming to streaming. So I hope you guys enjoy. I'll check you all next time. Thanks for listening. Peace out. Bye, guys.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Mordots Radio. We are back. Sorry, episode in a very long time. It's been a few months since we actually recorded. Driving. I had to step away for a while. Life got crazy. So I'm glad to be back. We're here with a couple people today. We're here with Artos, as admin in Mordots Radio. We're here with Fearless Leader, a Mixer streamer. Adventure Noodle, who was previously a Twitch streamer, who now moved to Mixer. And Behemoth Cell, who had a very successful YouTube channel. Hoping we get to see him back. So welcome, everyone. How's everyone doing tonight?
How's it going?
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
I'm doing quite well.
I am doing just fine.
Right. So I guess we'll start with we're gonna start with Adventure Noodle. Ladies first. So you were a Twitch streamer. I know we discussed earlier in the beginning of the show before we started recording. You were on Twitch. You felt like it was a little homogenized before over on that platform. You moved to Mixer. So I guess the first question would be, why did you start streaming, and what pulled you to Twitch before you switched to Mixer?
So funny enough, the reason that I started streaming was because of a video that Markiplier uploaded, believe it or not. I know a lot of his content, and like PewDiePie and a lot of others, is just usually scary games and screaming about 90% of the time. But there was one video that he uploaded that ended up in my recommended feed that I ended up seeing, and it was his it was a thank you video, and it was 10 minutes long, and he was talking about how he never expected his stream to get this big. He never or his YouTube channel to get that big. He never expected, you know, the amount of people that he hears on a constant daily basis of, you know, how he's like helped them or made their days better or, you know, things like that. And like the whole 10-minute video, he's being brought to tears just trying to express it all. And that just kind of made me realize that's something that I want to do. Is maybe it, you know, I never expect to be able to, you know, get to the fame or, you know, size level of like Markiplier or PewDiePie or anybody like that. But being able to personally be, you know, brought to tears at the thought of remembering that somebody came and told me personally that I changed their life for the better. Or, you know, after long, shitty days at work, they actually can relax and enjoy my content, and it helps them escape from their reality for a little bit. And it was just kind of, it just kind of clicked, and it was a little bit surprising how impactful that that was for me. And once I started streaming on Twitch, I started realizing that interacting with people is really invigorating and energizing for me. And you know, I'm now on Mixer, but it's now that I'm about 6 months into it, I feel like this is definitely something that I want to do for a very long time.
That's great. So, you know, seeing that video that got you like, oh my gosh, I feel like I want to do this. I want to make a difference in people's lives, which I think a lot of people do that get into streaming. Want to help make that difference. You know, if someone does come home from a crappy-ass day from work, they sit down, find you, and you're just being positive, putting out those good vibes, and they can just enjoy you and just lift them up. It's such a great feeling. It's just like making someone's day even better. Not even though, not grasping for that fame, just like, hey, putting a smile on someone's face, you did your job for the day.
Oh, that's ironically how I found your channel, Riven.
I'm sorry, sir?
That's ironically how I found your channel.
I was just having a bad day, yeah, and just jumped in.
Yep, right after working at Papa John's.
Oh, cool. I hope it's help you out that day.
Oh, yeah.
So you're on Twitch. So you've been doing it for 6 months. So you're on Twitch for a little bit. What pulled you from Twitch to Mixer? And how long? You've been on Mixer shortly now for only like a few, maybe a few weeks now?
Less than a week, actually. I've only been Mixer for about a week, and I've already almost got as many followers on Mixer than I do Twitch, which I found very, very surprising. When I started on Twitch, it took me about a month to reach affiliate, and I was working my ass off, and I was trying to stream 5 days a week for at least 5 hours every night. And it felt very stressful because the market was so oversaturated with the amount of people that are already watching. Yes, there are a lot of people that are viewing, but there are also, you know, just that much more streamers out there that are basically trying to do the exact same thing I am. And I just didn't really like the idea of it because, especially with how bits and donations worked, it was very, very reminiscent to a couple of my previous jobs because I actually used to do adult webcamming in the past. And the structure of Twitch is actually very, very similar to those webcam sites. And constantly having to thank people for the bits and thank people for the donations and thank people for the follows, it's very, very taxing, and it also kind of defeated the whole idea of what I wanted to do. And I wanted to build more of a community rather than constantly provide that ego stroke feedback to people that want to support me. And the way that I've seen anybody receive any kind of monetary success on Twitch is that consistency of giving that ego stroking to the viewers that provide the support. And from what I have seen, that's also very consistent with people that achieved partnership with Twitch as well. And that just never really sat right with me. And I wanted to move kind of away from that and have the support feel more optional as opposed to obligated for people that want to see me see me be successful.
Very good points there. I will agree with the Twitch. I mean, I streamed on Twitch for 3 months before jumping the Mixer, and I'm back on it. But you make some very good points there. There is that whole ego there, like, hey, I followed you. Hey, I threw you some bits. Hey, I subbed to you. You know, pet my ego because, you know, I supported you. Which I definitely still, the people that do come, like my regulars that do come through, like they just support to support because they like the content, which is awesome. But then you definitely have like the people that will just come in, drop a sub, and then expect you to shout them out and, you know, pet them for a little bit. And then if you don't, I feel like if you don't do that, you may not see that person back again. So I can definitely feel where you're coming from there, from being on Twitch 3 months before jumping over to a different platform. So how do you feel on Mixer, like with the whole, I know you're not partner yet, but maybe seeing partners out there, how do you feel like the whole like monetization on Mixer is, or I don't know if you have enough information on that, but how do you feel like that is or will be different compared to like the way Twitch is now?
Well, honestly, from what I've seen, as far as the sparks are concerned, I think that's absolutely a wonderful way to go about it, is that you don't have to thank people for each individual one. It's more of a, you know, it's for fun. Go, you know, spend your sparks as much as you want because you just earn them by watching. And so it's a lot more liberating to both the viewer and the streamer, I think, because the viewer doesn't actually have to pay for those sparks. And so they don't expect that shout out or anything like that. So there's that whole obligation is kind of pulled away. Now for like the, you know, the big ones, you know, the shout outs are more true appreciations when people, you know, drop the big amount of sparks for people that are partners. And it kind of rings a little bit more honest from what I've seen. And not only that, the availability that Mixer allows for other monetization, like merchandise sites, like for t-shirt promos and stuff like that, or you know, Patreon, or throwing the videos immediately onto YouTube, everything like that. I think that's absolutely wonderful. And I think it's kind of frees the streamer up and the viewer as well to support however they want. They don't have to give via bits. They don't have to give via subscriptions. They don't have to give via just PayPal. They're allowed to pursue a whole range of different options for supporting the streamer, which I think is absolutely wonderful. And it's really apparent, I think, in the streams when you see the people interacting with each other. And anytime that people drop, you know, monies, subs, donations, anything, it feels a way more genuine or genuine.
I feel that. It definitely is. I came in to Mixer season two now, right? Is what they're calling it, or season two or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was very cool, but I don't know. There was something about Twitch for me that I was where my journey started, so that's where I felt like going back. But I do like the whole Spark idea. It is very cool where you can help support a streamer through monetization without having to actually front out of your pocket, which is a very cool thing to do. Seeing Twitch now, you can see that there are other companies that are coming up, like Loots.com, that are providing the same type of thing. Quest Mode, I think, is another one where the viewer could do, like, play an ad on your stream, and it'll give you, like, a couple cents here and there, so you don't have to, like, they don't have to feel obligated to spend money on you or things like that. So I think that there's definitely other things out there that are helping it as well, but I like that it's built in directly to Mixer, which is very, very cool. It's definitely a big, big perk. So I guess to wrap it up, between Mixer and Twitch, what would say be the biggest pros and cons for you?
Okay. Well, I would say pros for Twitch is by far the amount of viewers. From what I've seen across the board, there are hands down more viewers on Twitch, just without question. And the amount of saturation that Twitch has on the market is another huge pro for it. And if you want to get in, it's very, very simple. But I would say a con for Twitch is they're really obtuse and hard to really quantify path to getting a partnership. Because I know with Mixer, it's very cut and dry. These are the requirements you need to meet. And as long as you, as a streamer, are meeting our, you know, terms of service and, you know, what we want from, you know, an overall appearance, you're golden. Now, I mean, that would be a pro for Mixer, but it's a con for Twitch because no one really knows. Yes, there are basic requirements in order to be considered, but no one has honestly any idea aside from Twitch themselves. And I think a lot of that has to do with their market share and how many companies are involved with Twitch. And I think that is kind of the reason why it's so opaque, is because they want to be able to stick with what their ad revenue is telling them to do for, like, approvals and denials and everything. And if they left that transparent, it would, you know, cause a lot of, you know, issues with both the streamers and the viewers. As far as Mixer is concerned, I would say pros, Mixer is way more beginner friendly. It's definitely set up for people that absolutely have no idea how to stream ever and have never done so. Built-in bots, built-in alerts, and everything like that. And I would also say that a pro is, because there's no middle affiliate option, it frees the streamer up to pursuing other monetization options, like I mentioned earlier, like with Patreon, merch sites, YouTube, etc. I'd say one of the other cons for Mixer is the fact that there's a huge lack of proprietary support, like Streamjar is really the only one that I've seen so far that's robust enough to work with Mixer. I know I use Streamlabs OBS, but it's more geared towards Twitch than it is towards Mixer. Mixer's more of an afterthought. And that's kind of the case with a lot of other stream services, like oh man, I'm running a mind blank right now. But
you're good. You're getting great information.
Yeah, other like online services are very, you know, Mixer's a, you know, secondhand option for their integration, and it's kind of frustrating and disappointing as well because of how wonderful Mixer is of a stream. It feels very crippled for its availability for people to customize correctly. Let's see. I would say also the stream discovery is probably another con for Mixer. It's a lot more difficult for people to find stuff that's new and different outside of going through the communities. I have noticed that if I'm just looking at Twitch, or sorry, Mixer's front page, all I see is their featured partners. I don't see anybody else. And if I wanted to look at anybody else, or it feels like it's very, very much they're burying everybody aside from the partners. And so unless I actually get involved with the community and start looking at the other streamers that are part of those little teams, it's downright impossible for me to find any small or upcoming streamers that I might actually like a lot more than the big streams.
Yeah. Good pros and cons there. Definitely. I will go through Twitch is a lot harder to feel to get discovered on. It's a lot harder to be found on. And definitely having a team behind you on Twitch. I have my things on Twitch teams. I love the Shed. Like, the Shed is just, you can just see that they're full-blown community before their team, which is why I love them. I think they're a great group of people. And there's probably other stream teams out there like that for Twitch. I just haven't come across them. But I can definitely, being coming from between Twitch and Mixer, I'll definitely see that, definitely say that, like, when we, when you get rated by a person that has a number of viewers, you end up in the up-and-coming or the featured streamer, which makes it easier for you to become seen. So the discoverability is definitely there, and definitely having those monetization options for not having the affiliate middle ground on Mixer is definitely a big pro too. I did like that. There was no like, oh, everyone rushed to become an affiliate to start making some money. And people think, I feel like sometimes people think when they become affiliate, things are going to change for them. And the truth is, nothing really changes when you get that sub button. It's still the same grind, still the same chase of that. Now, instead of chasing followers, you're chasing those sub numbers. So I feel like sometimes Twitch is like a numbers game. But I think there's also a chance to, instead of ignore that and just build, you know, not accept subs, like get the sub button, but not really accept subs and just build community around it. So. But you've made a very valid many different points on both platforms, and I thank you.
Thanks.
So I'm gonna jump over to Fearless Leader, sir. So you've been a Mixer streamer for, you said, I think before we started recording, about a year and a half now. What brought you directly to Mixer before trying on their platform?
Well, I've been on Mixer since Beam, when it was Beam. I think I did my Mixer age or something like that, and so much chat, and I was here for like 2 years and 4 months or something like that. But I joined just because I saw an article or something like that in a magazine or online that was talking about this new up-and-coming platform that you could stream on. At the time, I'd been streaming on Twitch and just kind of getting my feet wet in it. I didn't really have the equipment at the time to be doing the whole stream thing, but my audio is quiet. Okay. Okay. So I didn't have all the equipment and stuff that I wanted to do it right, but I figured I'd start it. And then about a year and a half ago or something like that, I was driving home and I saw a gentleman streaming. I went into his channel and immediately I said hi, and he said hi back. And I was like, holy moly, what the heck is going on here? I've been watching Twitch streams for a long time, and this guy just said hello back to me immediately. So I started talking to him about it because I really wanted to find out, you know, how that was happening. And he said, this is a new platform and they have this thing called FTL where I can talk to you immediately after you're talking to me. And I went nuts. And he's like, and I told him I was streaming on Twitch. I wasn't having a lot of luck. I probably was, you know, getting 3 or 4 views. I've been doing it for a little bit. And he said, this is where you want to be. So I immediately went home, started messing around with stuff, bought a capture card. I had a computer at the time that was just good enough to get the stream out, set it up. And he actually came and into the channel and talked to me for a little bit. And I've been here ever since. I mean, I just The community's fantastic. Took me a while to get going. I mean, about a year and a half I'd been streaming, but I didn't really start pushing till about 7 months ago, 7 or 8 months ago, something like that. I really started to put some effort into the stream. And now I'm making some big pushes. Been doing pretty good. I went up almost 800 or 900 follows in like 4 months or something like that.
Wow.
I've been doing it organically. I have been doing the same streams Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday since I started. Just been doing the same thing. I got, you know, open lobbies on Mondays. Wednesdays, I do a VR, a scary VR stream where my wife and my oldest daughter are actually mods in the channel. They come in and talk to me and tell me what's going on in the channel. Fridays, I do Call of Duty. And Sundays is pretty much open to whatever we all decide to play. And I've been doing it this way for months and had some really good luck. What I'm trying to do is, you know, I'm trying to stay away from the Fortnites. I'm trying to stay away from that stuff because it seems to be not the community I'm looking for, I guess you could say. I don't want the community of people always asking for giveaways and that kind of stuff. I'm really happy with the community I have, and our channel's based off of family. Since my entire family is basically in the channel all the time, my channel's based off of family. Everyone that comes into the channel is treated like family until you mess up. You're treated like family. My, you know, our Discord's open for everybody who comes into the channel and starts, you know, saying, hey, I'm having these issues. My wife and I will go in there and talk to them about it, try and, you know, see what we can do to help. We actually just recently started a thing where we're helping other streamers. We go in there and kind of check their channel out and see what we think about it. Cause, I guess people just like the way that we run the channel because we're basically open to everybody. We don't, we let everyone come in and play. I used to just keep my lobbies open all the time, but we were having some problems. But I don't really, I don't really close my lobbies off to everybody. I pretty much let anybody play and just tell them, hey, I haven't had anyone bad in the channel before. I don't need to start now. You know, if you want to jump into the party, that's fine. But the moment you come in here, we're just going to kick you out, that kind of thing. And so far, I think I've banned 3 people on my channel in the entire time I've been here. The whole family thing, I think, is what makes a big play into why people stay in the channel. Absolutely, I believe it is. When we tell you to kick your feet up and just kick back on the couch and play video games with us, that's pretty much what you get when you come into the channel. A few cuss words, poop and fart jokes, that kind of stuff. But it seems to work out. I mean, I love it here. And I had thought about going to Twitch and doing some restreaming to some other sites and stuff, but I think I'm comfortable where I'm at right now. It feels good. My community's fantastic. My stream team's amazing. We're really tight with each other. It's a reason why I chose that team. There was a few teams that had me want to come over to them, but this team that I'm with a lot of like-minded people, definitely help each other. We always do community events. We have a couple of partnered streamers in the channel. They pick up every single one of the non-partnered people, bring them into co-streams. I've been in, I don't know how many features with some of the partners that are in here, and they pick up everybody. They let everyone come in when they know they have features. They try and get co-streams together just to get their names out there. It's fantastic. I love this place. This is where I've set myself down, and this is where I'll probably stay.
Awesome. So it sounds like you made a for 4 months to get that many of my, you know, my followers and build that community quickly is great. Mixer, I know Mixer is definitely a great place, and it's still up and coming. And it's great to see people that are either hopping from Twitch or from whatever platform and actually making their way to it and growing and building community and doing well on it. And it's great to see people that, you know, started fresh from it and just building and growing and seeing, you know, positivity from it, which is a great thing. Mixer is probably one of my favorite platforms out there. I do really, really enjoy it. I think they have a lot of good things going on. And it's great to see you. I'm happy to see you doing well, man. Like that's awesome. I've been to your streams a few times, and it was always a chill stream. You always had a fun stream going on. You're a laid back streamer, and it's just fun. Like that's definitely that family thing going on. You know, you had your kids and your wife on, and it's just laid back and fun, and it definitely adds to the atmosphere to like make the whole whoever's in the stream make them feel welcome, and then eventually make you feel like, hey, I'm part of Fearless Leaders family. And it's just a good feeling, and that's what streaming should be.
Yeah, I try and keep it as organic as possible. I just feel like if I try and put any more than what I do right now, I'm going to be trying too hard, and that's never, you know, that's never a good thing. I'm not here to, I think the reason why I look at it that way too is because I'm not here to make a bunch of money. I know, I mean, I have a regular Joe job I go to every day.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely need to make sure I keep that, pushing hard. But I'm at no rush to do anything. And I think maybe that's why. It's because I'm not, you know, screaming at people to follow me. And if anything, it's like, you'll get into co-streaming with your partner buddies, and you're screaming at people in chat, not screaming, but they call me the hype man. I do like PSAs all the time about getting sparks over to, you know, this streamer. Hey, I'm streaming with this guy. Make sure you guys are dropping every spark you have. And I'll be like, hey, drop 10,000 sparks in the channel right now, and a sloth will be saved from being eaten by a crocodile. And people just start laughing, and they have a blast. And I think that's why, maybe that's why I've fallen into a really cool community, because of how, you know, just chill I am. I've never really been one of those guys that's like, hey, let me co-stream with you. You know, I see you got 400 people in your channel. Let me co-stream with you. I don't care if you have 5, 3, or, you know, 500. It doesn't matter to me, because I'm in no rush to move forward at any, you know, any speed. I'm just going to let it happen when it happens. And if I get partner, that's fantastic. But it's not number one on my list. Number one on my list is to sit in the channel and make it feel like we're couch co-oping. Make it feel right. Like we're all sitting in the front room drinking a soda, watching TV, or playing, you know, Mario Brothers, or playing Mario Kart, sitting on the couch yelling at each other. That's what I want my channel to feel like. I want it to feel like you're sitting in the living room with me having a good
time. Oh, it's a great mentality, man. And it definitely shows. Like, you're definitely, it is, I mean, just being there for a few times, it's a great mentality. A sloth being eaten by saved from getting crocodile is pretty funny. I mean, it definitely gets people hyped up. It definitely, you know, shows support, which is a huge thing. Like, I feel like sometimes streamers just stream for themselves, and streaming is just more than that. It's streaming for a community. It's streaming to build each other up, to push positivity, and just share the love is what streaming really is. So it's great to see that. So I guess what would be your biggest, like, pros and cons for Mixer? Being on it for a year and a half, you know, seeing all the different changes it's been through, being bought out by Microsoft, being directly put onto, like, the Xbox front. Like, what are your biggest pros and cons with Mixer? And if are you Noodle and Fearless, are you PC gamers, Xbox gamers? And if you are PC, what are your biggest challenges for, like, growing if you're not, like, an Xbox player? Because that's where I suffered from. So I guess there's three questions in this for you, Fearless. Your pros and cons for Mixer, from Beam to Microsoft, and then I guess two questions. So Beam and then transitioning to Microsoft, and then if the platform being so Xbox, I feel it's Xbox centric. What are your challenges there in growing, if there are any for you?
Well, I mean, I play on pretty much everything anyways. So I mean, I even do Switch days sometimes, depending on what they got. I can tell you this: when Beam went to Microsoft, it was fantastic. I absolutely agree that was a great step for them to do. As much as everyone says, oh, you know, having Microsoft being your umbrella now, it's going to be completely, militarized and you know, everyone's going to be unhappy with it. I'm really happy. I think that helps out a lot of streamers a lot, being Microsoft. I do believe that you are hindered if you're not playing on an Xbox. I believe that, multiplayer on an Xbox, I should say. That's probably a better way to put it, because I mean, there's a lot of PlayStation players out there who are playing a lot of single player stuff, God of War, a lot of the exclusives. But if you're a multiplayer, you know, trying to play, right now we're playing Paladins. That's a big one for us right now. We switched from Overwatch to Paladins, mostly just to get the skins. It's rough. It's rough because, you know, you do get a couple of PC players that pop in there. But if I were to jump on Paladins on PC, and right now it's not cross-platform, if I were to get on and jump on the PC, which I am way more of a keyboard and mouse guy than a controller guy, it's pretty much dead for you. You won't find a whole lot of people to play with. What I have been doing, though, is there's a nice community of people who are playing League of Legends at the moment. And they're trying to bring League of Legends to Mixer, which is my all-time favorite game. I mean, I've got more hours than I'd like to admit playing that game. There is a big channel on Discord that is League of Mixer, is what it's called, and it is a lot of League of Legends players, and they really want to get something started. Other than that, everything else I play is PC, Call of Duty, or Xbox, Call of Duty, all of that stuff. That it definitely, I wish I could play more PC, but I mean, it's not in the cards right now. I'm hoping to see it, you know, to change if Phil Spencer is saying, you know, that, hey, we're going to, you know, work on Windows gaming and all that stuff now. Hopefully that helps Mixer get some more PC stuff on there. I think it'll pan out. I think we'll be all right as a PC player once it gets a little bit of ground. Hopefully League of Legends will do that, though. I'm looking forward to that. What was the other question?
So that was, I guess, covering the challenges for Xbox or PC streamers. I guess your pros and cons, your biggest pros and cons for Mixer.
Cons. Let's start with the cons. I like to start with the bad stuff first and end with the positive. definitely getting exposure on that front page is really difficult now. It used to be that, you know, it was all randomized for front page. If you got hosted by a big streamer, if your numbers were higher than average, you would get on that front page or on the carousel. Now, I believe 3 of the 5 slots are partner now, and 2 of them are, if you're lucky, you'll get it. And I've had a couple of non-partnered streamers that are in our stream team have actually made the carousel at like 3 o'clock in the morning, you know? That up and coming section that they have is pretty ridiculous. It's usually reserved for like people with like 3 or 4 who jumped up to like 8 or 9 or 15 because they put a giveaway in their title or something like that. Clickbait stuff, basically. Exposure on there is really difficult, and I think that the only way to truly build your community is to start talking with other communities. That was the, I would say, turnaround point for me, is that if you're trying to do it by yourself on Mixer without somebody helping you out, especially now because of how, I mean, we are building, it is getting bigger. Our numbers are definitely higher on average than they have been in the past. Got to get into a community. You have to meet people on there and really start, you know, pushing. I don't want to say pushing yourself, but just meeting people. I find that, I mean, every channel that I've gone into, talking to them in their channel, hanging out with them for a month or so, I get a message back from somebody on Discord that, you know, maybe it's someone I don't know. It's just a weird message. And I was like, hey, this is yada, yada, yada. You came on my stream the other day. I think we'd have a good time. You want to co-stream? That kind of stuff. It's really hard to get yourself noticed. The other thing is, it does seem like there's a pecking order, I guess you can say, with streamers on there. You do see a lot of the same people getting the really big stuff going on, and the smaller guys really aren't getting anything. Other than that, I really don't have a whole lot of cons. I really do enjoy being there. I do feel like, especially in their staff, like, I mean, I've had staff come into the channel and just say hi and then walk out, you know, or leave the channel and stuff. But I don't know if that's because I'm a growing streamer or not, because I know a lot of people who were growing said, hey, we used to get staff members every once in a while, too. They're just checking up. Maybe they've got you noticed because someone said something, or they see that your numbers are better or whatnot. Pros for Mixer is just the communities on Mixer, the people are, I think the viewers themselves actually are a lot less disturbing and trolly than they are on Twitch. I found that on Twitch for the short period of time that I was there, when I did get people in there, is people telling me that I suck, or is people tell, you know, I'm trying to do a more of a show, less of the game, more of a show, because that's kind of what I've, you know, I was a musician beforehand and the front man. So mine is more of like a show than it is a stream itself. I don't really care about my gameplay too much. I never have. I'm pretty much terrible at everything that I play. But I think it's the way that I I can make fun of myself, but also make everybody else, like, I literally tell everybody, you're not even allowed to play with me unless you're going to carry me through this game, because I'd only let people who are better than me play, because I need someone to carry me while I'm talking to chat and sucking real bad. You know, it's like, the communities, the viewers, I think are much less of a problem. We get a few. We've had some that even got the account banned once, for like 35, 40 minutes before they reviewed it. I mean, that's how quick Mixer staff was on it. They were like 35, 40 minutes and they reviewed the and said, oh yeah, you did nothing wrong. Go ahead, keep it going. You know, that kind of thing. I also believe that the partners, most of them, not all of them, the really big ones, you know, they're kind of past us now. But I think that the partners on Mixer are a lot more open to helping out the smaller streamers. We do see a lot of shout outs from the larger streamers, especially for those who are sitting in their channel and really taking the time to get to know the channel, keeping the chat going, that kind of stuff. You do see a lot of shout outs from the big, from the medium partners, even some of the bigger ones, you know, even some of the large ones, they'll do shout outs for all the little guys that come in there, especially the ones that have been, you know, in their channel and friends with them. I do like that. On Twitch, I was trying to talk to everybody and nobody gives you the time of day. I mean, maybe I just picked the wrong channels, but going into some of these other partner channels and not even going in for a shout out just to go talk to them, I mean, it was like they could care less. You know, they were playing their game. They were trying to play competition Overwatch, or they were trying to play League of Legends, or they were super sweaty on it. And I think that's kind of the reason why I kind of took to Mixer over Twitch. I think Twitch, you get a lot more competitive players, people who really focus on the game. On Mixer, you get more laid back, like chill. There are some sweaty players, but for the most part, you'll get people who are just in there to play the game and have a good time. I mean, I can tell you, count on my hand, how many times I've gone into an Overwatch channel and seen them playing comp. You know, there's like two or three guys that I watch normally who are playing competitive, Overwatch. Everyone else is just playing just public matches, you know, that kind of thing. So pros are, I really feel like the community is a much better community, less toxic over at Mixer than it is in, but it is on
yes, some good points. I definitely for being on Mixer for the 4 months I want to say I was there, I do feel like community is more real, I guess. I don't want to say real. I don't know what the word is, but it's definitely, you can just feel it's not as toxic. Like, people just pop into your channel to say hi and chat with you and talk with you. I think it also depends on the game you're playing on Twitch. If you're playing Fortnite and people bock in, it's like, hey, you're not Ninja. It's like, well, obviously I'm not Ninja. Duh. But it's definitely a whole different atmosphere from Mixer to Twitch. I wonder if it's also Mixer's, if Mixer's also, you know, still up and coming and growing, and doesn't have that level of toxicity yet, and what will happen if it gets there. So I wonder. But Mixer, I think overall, is a good platform. There's something about Twitch I'm just drawn to about. I'm going in and out of my audio. Yeah, it's my mic. I don't know something about my mic. I have to play around with it. So I'm sorry, everyone who listens to this and listening to Riven talk, and it's in and out, in and out, in and out. I'll fix that and figure out what's going on, even if that means I need to get
XLR.
Yeah,
am I?
You're okay here too. Yeah. Right. I agree with you though, as far as Mixer still being kind of small. I absolutely agree with you. I think that as soon as Mixer does get a foothold and we are pulling some bigger numbers, like some really large numbers, it's not going to be any different community wise than Twitch is. I think just right now it's nice and comfortable, but most of us will probably be past that point at some point, is what I'm hoping, is that when that large sizes come in, I'll have a nice, decent community base that will be there for me, and when new people come in, I'll have mods that'll be able to take care of the trolley stuff. I won't have to look at it and that kind of stuff. But I agree with you. I think that because we're still small, it means absolutely nothing at this point. I mean, yeah, we do have a small trolley community. We have a small community and less trolls, but with more people comes more of that. You know, we're seeing a little bit more of it, but it's not as huge yet still. I'm seeing it in every channel that I, you know, every channel one or two, maybe. But it will get worse. Definitely. Anytime you have a large community of people like this, it'll get worse.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it doesn't get much worse. I mean, just from being there for the few months I was there, I absolutely loved it. It was great. Nothing against Mixer. Just being a full-blown PC gamer, coming from my perspective, it was a little bit harder for me to grow, just because I didn't have an Xbox. So it was a little bit tougher. But I guess if I pushed harder, maybe I could have done something more. But like I said, life got crazy. And I just had to stop streaming for a little bit. But I'm glad, you know, Fearless, you're doing great on it. Noodle, you know, switching over to Twitch to Mixer, I hope you do awesome. We stopped into your channel a few days ago. It was a very chill, relaxed channel. So I wish you the best of luck and hope you get where you want to go with all your goals.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, Shell, I used to be a YouTuber. I guess you stopped for a little bit. I guess we'll talk about, your YouTube journey, pros, cons, if you're looking to get back into it and where you want to go with your channel now, or if you're looking to do a different perspective on it.
Well, I guess to start all that, I guess I would have to explain why I stopped. And the short gist of it is that my mom passed away when I was 11, and that's when I had all these subscribers and stuff. My journey was I literally just was uploading random videos, just video games, vlogs, just whatever. The channel, I don't know if it even exists anymore, the one that had all the subscribers and all that. But I have started up a whole new channel and all that stuff. I've got like 12 subscribers, I think, give or take. But what I intend to do is I intend to stream, which shameless self-promo, I'm going to probably start trying to stream here for mobile. Probably going to start trying to stream every night, at least an hour or two at least. Some of the mobile games I've been playing recently. Probably will stream during the day some Pokemon Go. It's going to be killer on my battery, but, you know, who cares? go ahead.
No, go ahead. Keep talking.
Okay. But the long and the short of it being that I don't intend to just be YouTube. I intend to, you know, try and keep my horizons open. You know, I don't intend to just like focus down on one path, because I feel like if I put all my eggs in one basket and don't work out, well, then I'm back to square one. Whereas if I kind of like throw a little bit out to everywhere and I build up everything as much as I can, and something I find doesn't work as well as something else does, I can abandon whatever's not working and put more effort towards what is working. You know what I mean?
Oh, I hear that. I understand. Yeah, definitely. Keeping your content on both places, you know, YouTube or Twitch or Mixer, wherever you decide to go, and then making live streams and then cutting that content into other snippets of different content to put on YouTube and push out to your following and to your community.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I was on Mixer for at least a good year or so. I got like, I think it was 105. 106 followers, something like that. It was slow going. It's, you know, that all comes down to Mixer being harder to get up and coming on, especially when you're like me and you don't have a lot of ways to promo. I didn't have a community behind me and all that. I was just basically collecting followers along the way, playing whatever I wanted to play. I apologize about the pause. I'm formulating thoughts.
No, it's okay, man.
I have been like taking notice of like things that have been working in the few streams that I have done, in the few videos I have put up. I haven't put up a YouTube video, I think, in almost, I want to say it's like 3 years since I put up a video, so it's been a while. But I've taken notice, like there have been some new things that have changed with the YouTube algorithm, which is, that's still perplexing to me. I still haven't quite figured that out. But I've noticed things on Twitch have seemed to gone more the route of competitive, like Fearless Leader was saying, and like Noodle was saying. Twitch seems to have gone towards competitive, whereas Mixer seems to be more of words. They escape me. Cooperative. That's the word I was trying to find. Things that don't seem to be as competitive on Mixer, they seem more cooperative. I find that as telling as to what kind of content works where. And like I said, I'm sorry if I get repetitive. And you can always tell me shut up. That works too.
No, you're good, dude. You're going.
So I'm slowly figuring out what the YouTube algorithm is working around. It seems to be like if your channel is known for video games, and then as long as you're providing video game content of like 10 minutes or more, you get not necessarily like priority, but you get like your content shows up easier. Some of my current content, you can actually search on Google and it will show up. It's like anything with like over 100 views shows up on Google search. Which is, when I first saw that out, it was very interesting. I have found that when streaming on Mixer, things like Yu-Gi-Oh, if you're doing non-competitive Warframe, because I've noticed that on the I'm an Xbox gamer. Xbox gamer through and through, build strong, tough, work strong, play strong, so the whole nine yards. I'm slowly working my way over to PC. I've got like another month or so, and then my college will be sending me a PC for school. So I'm going to be working with that. It's not like it's a great laptop, but it's a laptop nonetheless. But in the meantime, as I said, I'm going to be doing mobile streams. Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links is probably one of the big ones I'm going to be doing. Not necessarily because I'm any good at it, but because, you know, I've got like almost no cards, and it's interesting to see what kind of decks I throw together. I'm working on trying to find games that are interesting to watch instead of just the everyday grind and everything. You know what I mean?
Right. No, definitely. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is a cool game. I played that on the mobile. It's a very cool game. And it has a pretty big following from what I can see, so I think it'd do definitely good with that. No, I definitely understand. Coming from, I'm sorry. First, I want to say sorry. I'm very sorry for your loss. I know you've mentioned it a few times, but I'm very sorry. I know it's tough.
I mean, we're coming up on our anniversary, my dude. It does mean a lot to hear that.
Welcome, man. And but yeah, no, it'll be great to see. You know, I've checked out a few of your videos, and they were good. So it would be great to see you up and coming again. And wherever you decide to go live, you know, definitely be there to support you and help you out. But it will definitely be good to see you making content, pushing your way through, and hopefully grow a community behind it, because it sounds like you got some good things behind it, especially with the PC coming, having on both platforms, Xbox and PC, to do some good for you.
Shoot, I don't even have my Xbox on me right now. That's
that's all right. You'll make it work.
It's not that they won't allow it here in the shelter. It's like I can't trust someone to steal.
That's true. But it sounds like things have been looking up for you too as well. So.
Oh, definitely. I'm hoping that, you know, pushing through everything, everything will kind of just fall into place.
Definitely will. Life has a way of always working out. So coming from YouTube, because you were on YouTube for a while, and then you were also on Mixer for about a year, year and a half, and I know YouTube has changed the algorithm, and I don't even understand it yet, but I guess from, like, making content on YouTube, uploading YouTube videos, and then streaming live on Mixer, what would be your biggest pros between YouTube content creation and live streaming on Mixer? Like, what would be those two, like, if you could compare the two or give pros and cons based on YouTube and then pros and cons based on Mixer, like, what could you talk about those two?
Oh, I mean, the pros between YouTube and Mixer would be that YouTube, you can put a little bit more thought into everything you're doing, whereas Mixer is definitely more on the spot. If someone says something in the chat and you're you're just playing and you see this in the chat, you can't help your reaction. Whereas, excuse me, coming off of a cold. Just teleport. When you're on Mixer, you can't fake your reaction to someone saying something either stupid or funny or stupid funny. Whereas on YouTube, you can see a video 100 times, and over time, it's not going to be as funny as you saw it the first time.
That's true. It makes sense there, right?
So I had a couple times, because I do have some moderators for my Mixer channel that I swear is like going dead at this point. I have some moderators for my Mixer channel that they have had to ban some people for explicit content in my chat. I can't tell you how embarrassed I was when that stream was going on.
Oh gosh, yeah, people just come in and just smack around your dropping your nasty words or just stupid shit just to like get a rise out of the streamer or maybe
it was a full blown orgy in the chat. I'm just gonna point that out. Yeah, it was bad. Needless to say, those individuals are permanently banned from my streams.
Yeah,
but besides, and from the YouTube perspective, when I did have that channel that was up and going and all that, it was just really a matter of just posting content. I didn't have to think too much about my content, but I did put some thought into it. The videos I do have up on my current channel, all those were done with a camcorder. Like, none of them were done with, like, professional gear or anything, and I still got a decent amount of views on most of them.
That's great. No, and that's, I guess, the things that go out to everyone out there who might be even thinking about doing content creation. It doesn't matter that you have a crisp-looking stream. Maybe your audio sounds like crap. Just start streaming. Along the way, you know, you're working your job. You put, you know, $50 here aside, and you know, daily, every time you get paid, just start streaming. Start making YouTube content. It doesn't matter what quality you have. I mean, you can hear from Cell that, you know, using a video camera to record his gameplay and putting it up to YouTube.
It was Nintendo 64 at the time, I think.
There you go. So, and then getting a following after it. So just do it. You know, if you're looking to do it, just jump into it, do it. And as you get better and learn more, you'll get the hardware, you'll get the crisper looking stream or YouTube videos, the audio will sound better, and you'll just go from there. But don't let having bad equipment hold you back.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've noticed as well is consistency means so much more than any equipment that you stream with. It doesn't matter how bad the audio quality is, doesn't matter how bad the video quality is, doesn't matter what you're streaming on. As long as you're consistent and you're building that community and people know when to expect you, same thing with YouTube, as long as you're consistently uploading videos, it means so much more to being successful than anything that you stream with.
Very true. Consistency, and that consistency means more than just showing up on time. It's like, but consistency is a huge key. It's like, are you going to be consistently playing the same game, you know, Monday through Thursday, and then, you know, Friday night to Friday night? Consistency means so many different things, but even just showing up and being consistent with what you're doing for either YouTube videos or streaming, Noodle makes a very good point. Consistency is key to success.
Yeah,
I don't know about that one.
Getting a schedule together changed my outlook on that whole deal forever. As soon as I put a schedule together, it's like a TV show. Think of it like a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You tell people you're going to be there Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You better be there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. They're going to tune in like they would Friends or, well, I'm old. They're going to tune in like you're watching Teen Titans or something of that nature. You're going to
Teen Titans.
You're going to know. You're going to know.
That's a random TV show.
You're going to know they're there, you know?
I was going to say, as far as that kind of consistency goes, definitely 100%. I can agree with that much, because that's probably the number one reason I don't have as many viewers as I want. I was going to say, like, consistency-wise and, like, your content, though, it doesn't always make a difference, in my opinion.
Wait, say that, I'm sorry. Say that one more time. Doing consistency for your I'm sorry, your content.
In your content. Consistency in your content.
Oh,
like,
I gotcha.
It's like you're like, on Monday I play this. But then like one Monday you're like, I don't really want to play this, but this is an interesting game. Let's play this for one Monday. And then you go back to what you were doing, you originally had scheduled the following Monday.
I get what you're trying to say. It can be kind of a double-edged sword for especially variety streamers. Because if you stream a lot of, say, Skyrim, and people get used to you watching Skyrim, and then all of a sudden, hey, I'm not going to be streaming Skyrim today, I'm going to play Rocket League, well, all the people that watch you for Skyrim are just going to just disappear because, well, it's not the content they want. And so just consistency during the hours to expect is definitely good. But sometimes the consistency of like always playing one game can end up pigeonholing your fan base into expecting you to play that one game.
That's true. Good point, Noodle. Very good point. Yes. So I'm a culprit to video game ADHD. Like, I can't stick with one game. I am a culprit with bouncing between games and games and games and games and games. And Mixer, I was doing Skyrim for a little bit, and I was like, I'm going to go through Skyrim, I'm going to beat the game, and then I'm going to go through all the expansions. And then I stopped playing Skyrim. There were people showing up, and I was building community off of that, and I just stopped playing it and moved up to something else. And those people that were coming to watch Skyrim never showed up anymore because they didn't want the other games I was playing. They wanted Skyrim. So, yeah, I guess having that one, you know, having a game you can play or letting people know, hey, tonight we're not going to play Skyrim, we're going to play this. Maybe we'll pull those people that in. They're like, oh, yeah, he's not playing Skyrim, but I like the person, not the game he's playing. I'll stick around. He's consistently showing up at the same time at, let's say, 7 o'clock on a Wednesday. But, yeah, I definitely can feel where, hey, this one Monday, I'm not going to play X game. I'm going to play this game. And those, you know, 10 viewers that you show up don't show up anymore because you're not playing said game.
Oh, yeah, that's happened to me. I mean, I'm not kidding. And I'm sorry, by the way, Noodle, for cutting you off.
Oh, you're good.
I was going to say.
I'll just jump in there.
Yeah, go ahead. I had to cuss him out. There was a guy who was standing next to me who was telling me how I hate when people do it to me.
Oh, geez. But, I think the best example of that is, at least from what I've seen firsthand, is one of my best friends, Max. I don't know if anybody knows who he is, but he streams as Element 5 or E5 on Twitch, and he's well known for his Darkest Dungeon streams. And he's built a following around just that one game. And it's gotten to the point where he streams at about 5 days a week now. And I would say on average, like especially like at his peak hours, he probably gets like 100+ viewers when he's playing Darkest Dungeon. But there are days when he doesn't feel great and he doesn't want, you know, he's stressed out. And, you know, Darkest Dungeon is a really, really stressful game. So he wants to do something different, like play Slay the Spire or Hand of Fate or something like that. And his viewer base just drops down to like the 20s. Like, it's just night and day difference because his whole viewer base is built around that Darkest Dungeon, that, and the moment he tries to do something else, like it just plummets. Like everybody that watches him just disappears. It's weird.
Well, I feel like that. Sorry, I'm still here, by the way. I'm still alive. I feel like that is actually kind of a indicative of how those 20 people, if you're averaging 100, if you pigeonhole yourself into one video game, those 20 people are the actual people that like you for the person rather than the video game you play. So So I think that those 20 people are his actual base, and the rest of them are just there for the video game and him second. And the fact that there are 20 people that watch him regardless is pretty great, because that's actually a lot of people. There are streamers out there that have way larger fan bases when they play that specific game, but then have literally nobody playing them, watching them when they play something different. It's actually good for him, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely a good indicator of, you know, knowing that you have a foundation. That no matter what you do, you will have somebody there supporting you, so you're not talking to nobody.
Correct.
Oh, I'm always talking to nobody. That's beside the point.
Well, even if you're talking to nobody, you have to act like you're talking to 100 people. So.
Right.
That's the whole point.
what I was gonna say originally was, I have at one point on Mixer have gotten myself pigeonholed into that kind of situation, because on Mixer I tend to stream not only Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy the Duelist, because I've gotten very, very good at that, but I also stream Rainbow Six Siege. and I get so many people who come in. And this is like this is also a pet peeve of mine. It's the reason why I'm kind of moving away from Mixer. I get so many people who come in and they're like, "Can I play with you?" It's like, that's great to know that you're not here to watch me. You're just here to try to find a game. Thanks. Thanks, person.
Yeah, no, I've gotten that too. Like, I was checking out Siege for a while, and then people just pop in, "Hey, can I play with you? Hey, can I play with you?" It's like, hey, I don't mind playing. It's like, yeah, I'll jump in and play with you.
I mean, to be honest, Ryman, that's how I found you. So
yeah, no, it was. It definitely was. Like, while I was playing Warframe, I was like, can I play? I'm like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Coming and play. So I don't mind it. It's like, I'm not playing with my viewers, so definitely.
Let's not talk about Warframe.
I was going to say, when I get my PC, that's like one of the first games that's getting downloaded on my PC.
That
so.
Game.
Good game.
Speaking of PC, there was actually earlier on one of the questions you asked them about streaming on PC versus Xbox on Mixer. You just reminded me, thank you. I'm an exclusive PC streamer. So all the games that I have are on the PC. And I think that's actually a huge boon for PC streamers because we have a lot more opportunity for kind of, you know, a non-existent area on Mixer. Because there's a huge chunk of Xbox streamers, yes, but they are confined to just the games that are on the Xbox. And I think having that PC availability and that extreme level of variety is really, really wonderful because, I mean, I've got a crap ton of emulators for games across the board.
I just want to weigh in on that one. I hate to be that bearer of bad news. Windows 10 allows cross-streaming with your Xbox and all that. I only know this because I cross-stream to my tablet when I'm that bored and I don't want to use a TV. My tablet streams in 4K. It's beautiful. I'm not kidding. It's a 10-inch screen that streams in 4K. It's absolutely beautiful. Anyways, but it creates a very weird niche because you have all these PC players. And don't get me wrong, I don't knock PC. PCs are like 1,000 times more powerful than an Xbox or a PS4 or a Switch. You guys have that. But, oh God, do Xbox and PlayStation and Switch have a larger library than PC does?
What are you talking about?
In so many ways. Oh,
yeah. What are you talking about?
I can definitively say that give it another year, and Xbox will have PC support, and Xbox will be playing all the same PC games.
You're talking about Microsoft's cross-play. Yes, I'm fine with that. Trust me, I am fine with that, because that means I can play Xbox games on my PC.
Exactly.
Fantastic. That's great. But Switch and PS4, I disagree with completely. The PC has hundreds of thousands more indie games than PS4 and Switch, bar none. We are the king. We are and always will be the king of indie. Like, I was reading like a Kotaku or Polygon article a couple days ago saying that the Switch is the king of indie. I'm like, what are you talking about? The PC's been the king of indie since 2012, and it's not gonna stop.
That's good. And to add on that, PC also has emulation under its belt as well.
Correct.
So not only can we play PC exclusive games, we can also play PlayStation 1, GameCube. We can play N64.
PS2.
Yeah, all the 8-bit and 16-bit consoles, like all of those libraries on the PC.
We can play Atari if we wanted to.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't think that PC is in any danger of getting dethroned on the library front from console games in any way.
As far as Xbox is concerned, Xbox is just becoming more and more of just Xbox is becoming more of just a computer.
Yeah, basically it's becoming a Steam box. And that's what it is.
That's what it's going to be. I mean, it's going to blur that. Oops, sorry, go ahead, Fearless.
Oh, that's right. I think as far as the PC stuff goes, I absolutely agree. I think it opens up a wide... the ability to bring in people to games that maybe they can't experience on the Xbox. The hard part is just getting them through the door and into the channel to come see it. Unfortunately, when Mixer posts their games, you don't see those so high up on the list. It's weird how it's listed. So, I mean, I played Spec Ops The Line on the PC on Mixer, and I had, when I first started, I went from having one viewer for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. I had 20 people in there to watch that game, and it was on PC. And it was just because it was an oddball game. I think it gives you a huge opportunity to bring people in to see games that they might not be able to see on an Xbox.
They might not be able to play
or whatever that game was called. I got a really good response with that game, playing that game, because it's not available on the Xbox, and it's a battle royale ish game, and it streamed real well. It's just, you can't play that all the time. It gets real boring after a while and you have to switch to something else. But oh no, I absolutely agree that the PC has the potential to be something huge on Mixer. It's just getting everybody else on board and telling them, hey, this is on PC and this is awesome. Now come and watch me. You know?
Well, I think that, yeah, there is that, like, kind of, you can, this is on PC, but it's also, you can never play this kind of deal. It's like, if you're going to watch it for the person, great, but if you're watching it to see what the game is like, then there's no point, because it's not on Xbox or it's not on your console of choice. So
go ahead, Arcos. I'm sorry.
No, go for it. I was just
to quote a song that I love so much. I've played the song into oblivion. You could ask any of my friends this. I'd like to teach you a word: accessibility. Oh God, the reason PC has a problem with streaming, in my opinion, on Mixer, is because of the fact that 9/10 of the PC games that get streamed on Mixer are only on PC. They aren't accessible through Xbox. They aren't accessible through PS4. They aren't accessible through Switch, and it bothers a lot of people. And I just give me a second.
No, I get exactly what you're saying, and that was the issue I was having. It was like, oh, hey, you're playing this game. What are you playing on? It's like, oh, PC. And then the moment I felt like I said PC, that viewer was there, left the channel. So I was like, okay, I made it a little bit harder. So
kind of makes saying the word PC feel like a dirty word sometimes.
Yeah,
it does, right?
Awful, because it should be amazing. Because it is.
There's one rule in my channel. Talk about the system. The reason why is because I am PC. I'm going to be switching to PC. I'm going to do mobile. I'm going to continue to do Xbox because all of it is beautiful. But my biggest rule in my channel is we don't talk about consoles, because it doesn't matter. Just because the game isn't on the console that you play doesn't mean that it's not a good game or the streamer isn't a good streamer. You know?
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a really overlooked thing that people get lost in the whole, like, which platform is better. It's like, the platform that's better is the platform that the person chooses to play on. That's it. It's all down to the individual level. Yes, PC has a lot of advantages over every other console. Sure. But is it viable for everybody? No. And does somebody have more fun playing on Xbox because all of their friends are on there? Yes. And that's what matters to that individual person. Yeah. I think a lot of people overlook that.
I mean, you play on the console that your friends are playing on, and that's what you do. And I mean, I grew up with a PC, so I play on a PC. But if I grew up with a PS2, which I have, but if I grew up on PS2 and went to PS4, that's where all my friends would be, and I'd be in I wouldn't be here right now. But that's how it is.
I want to bring up an interesting conversation that a friend of mine and I had, because he and I do not see eye to eye on consoles at all. He is very avid that the Xbox is inferior in every way, shape, and form to the PlayStation. I'm very avid in the fact that they're both inferior consoles to the Switch. But that's just my opinion.
Okay. All right. All right.
They have Zelda. That's the only reason that it's better.
Really, the thing with the only thing I really hate about consoles is the exclusives, and that's the problem I'm having. Because I hate having to buy every single console for a game that I want to play. Like God of War. God of War, I loved the shit out of God of War. The first three games, I played so much. But then they moved to the PS, or first two games, and they moved to the PS3, and I didn't have one, so I couldn't play the next game in the installment. So I've never played the rest of the God of War series, because I don't have the console for it. I can't do anything about that.
Oh, and my heart goes out to you, because I played the first two as well, and I'm sad because I haven't been able to play
it. It was the same with the Ratchet and Clank series. Couldn't play the rest of those either. I was really pissed.
Up your arsenal. After Deadlock, I couldn't play the series, and it hurt me. Oh, God.
Especially the fact that Deadlock was the last one I played. That hurt me, because Deadlock was awful. But anyway.
I have to ask, just on a side note, what was your playthrough at?
What do you mean? It's been ages since I played them. I mean, they're all in like.
I was at playthrough, I think, like 6 with like four of the three.
I think I was in round 4, 5, something like that. But I've played them consistently. I still play them.
Nice.
Because they're great games. Anyway.
I want to actually get to the conversation.
Yeah.
I want to get to the conversation that we started all this topic. So my friend and I are going back and forth, and he brings up the exclusivity thing. And actually, believe it or not, that was where the whole conversation was going. So he brings up the exclusivity. He says to me, well, at least on PlayStation, I get my Call of Duty exclusivities a month in advance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's like a whole, yeah, that.
I laughed at him and I said, at least on Xbox, I can play Gears of War.
Yeah. No, that I don't know what everyone's opinion on that is. That's like a whole, yeah. I mean, I have my reservations for that, but that's just, you can't get mad at a company making a move and signing a contract to get money out of it. This is going back to the Ubisoft move and the Epic Games move.
Right,
you can't get mad
about
at a company at it, but that's a whole different conversation.
Oh, okay, Riven, speaking of Ubisoft.
Oh, go ahead.
We got, what about Assassin's Creed Odyssey and their 15 different, what was it, pre-orders?
All the different exclusive versions.
That's fun. Pre-order. I think Ultimate, the Ultimate one was in the middle, and then there was Supreme in, like, Odyssey mode.
Yep, it was ridiculous.
What does that mean?
Yeah, and then I just want to point out Xbox had 3, which was the normal, the gold, and the... And the Ultimate.
I think as far as like the overall gaming community is concerned, I feel like the exclusivity argument and thing, like the push that consoles try to, you know, throw money at to get those exclusive titles is detrimental to all of us as gamers in general. All of us to be able to enjoy the same games regardless of what console we're playing on. Because I feel like there's absolutely no way that, you know, pushing your game to every available console that you can, that every major one, that, you know, how could that detriment your sales compared to just getting, you know, exclusive to Sony? Because I would absolutely love to play Metal Gear Solid 4 on the PC, but unfortunately I cannot. If the only way that I can play it is on a PS3.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
On the topic, though, of exclusivities, I want to know how many people have heard this. Bungie just won full rights to Destiny 2.
Yep.
That was a thing that happened.
That was a big thing. That was huge.
That is a big thing. That's huge.
I mean, that's not exclusivity.
There's no longer any, there's no longer any PS4 exclusivity for Destiny.
Activision.
Well,
right, there's no Activision. What Bungie decides to do next is what Bungie decides to do next. So if they turn around and say, Sony's going to throw money at us. Right, if Sony turns around and say, hey, we're going to give you $2 million to give us exclusivity first, I mean, are you mad at them for taking that? I mean, it's annoying because you're technically still segregating a community by saying, hey, they're going to get this first, and you'll get this a month later.
I mean, that kind of, but I mean, there's only so far you can go. In a game, yes, you can get there first, but eventually some people are going to catch up because there's not going to be, even in an MMO, you got a hard stop point content ends. And when the content ends, everybody catches up afterwards. So getting a game a month first is like, okay, sure, whatever. I'll just stay away from YouTube for a month.
It's just So it's not a big deal. I'm happy for that move, just because of my reservations to Activision. So I'm happy to see what Bungie's gonna do next with the Division, with Destiny 2. I'm very excited for the move. I think it's a great move in their end, because it's just, if you look at the game with all the microtransactions that have happened, I think it's a great move, and hopefully we move away from all that and we get to more content focused gaming.
Again, we'll see what they do with the microtransactions, because I haven't seen anything change about those microtransactions.
I think that's here to stay. Just in general, I think that's a thing that's here to stay, and that pisses me off. Is microtransactions.
Don't
even get me.
I do not like that game at all.
Neither what, Destiny?
Yeah, I could not stand both those games. I died of boredom. I'm a story guy. The grind is interest me that
don't
much.
Don't play Warframe.
Don't play Addiction. Don't play Warframe, yeah.
Man, did that game just bore me. But on the other side, too, I understand why people like it. I personally am more into, like, MOBAs, first-person shooters, Battlefields, CODs. That kind of thing. I just was really excited about Destiny, especially the first one. I mean, I bought the white PlayStation 4.
Me too.
Exclusive PlayStation.
Friend bought that one.
And I was just like, okay, that's it. I literally got through this in, 14 hours or 15 hours or something like that, and that's it? Like, that's all, like, wow.
It's an MMO.
It's an MMO. I agree that they did do a really shit job on the story. Like, it was just terrible.
But you can't blame Bungie on that one, because if you look into all the legal stuff that happened afterwards...
Sure. I'm not blaming Bungie. I'm just saying the game sucked with story. I have no issue with Bungie.
Because Activision turned around and said to them that they had to retcon half of it.
Well, look what they're doing with Blizzard right now. I understand that Activision is... sucks. Like, Blizzard is going down the tubes because of them. But
Let's discuss that. That makes my heart hurt.
That makes your heart hurt. That makes my heart feel fried.
It makes me so sad, man. I loved Warcraft 3 and Warcraft 2. And it makes me so sad. And Diablo 1 and 2.
That makes my heart sing, because that means that ArenaNet's winning.
Yeah.
ArenaNet? Okay.
Are they even still around?
They are. They're Guild Wars 2. Yeah, they're doing
pretty
good. Yeah, ArenaNet
is Guild Wars 2, yeah.
There's a name.
They slid under that radar.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Is that a winning thing?
Yeah, but it's something about jump puzzles and stuff like that that made me quit that game a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you say jump puzzle, I think bliss.
Oh, guys, we're almost an hour and a half into, that'd be a lot. So we're gonna start wrapping up here. So I guess to wrap up the whole segment and discussion here, I'm gonna move over to Artos, because I guess not a streamer perspective.
Well, I've been a part of many, many communities, so. I get the community thing. I started off, actually. Does anyone know Angry Joe? Anybody?
Yeah,
of course.
Oh, I know Angry Joe, yeah.
Yes, I was a guild master for Angry Joe a while back for his community. I think I was in charge of, 200 people, 300 people. I was in charge of a game called Guns of Icarus.
That's the ship games, right? The ship Ship-to-ship combat?
Oh, yep. Man. Great game. Still love that game. Even though the development was snail's pace, but it was great game. Yeah, so after I left... Angry Joe Army or whatever it is. I forget. It's been so long now. I created a multitude of different communities and landed here. So that's my community. I just have a lot of things with communities, and I know what works and what doesn't. So it's, and what works is definitely you need to be consistent and likable as a person in order to continue onward. And having that consistency and the fact that you guys are not treating going for the Mixer, Twitch gold, YouTube gold, is going to be useful or beneficial to you in the future, because you got a fan base or user base, viewer base, that is a lot more, just a lot more loyal to you as a person rather than to the game you're playing. Because as we talked about before, the people that pigeonhole themselves into a video game end up having fake users, I guess, what amounts to fake users or fake viewers. And the fact that you have to play that game and get stuck into that game every day, I don't think I could even play a game that often. Don't look at my Warframe numbers, but yeah.
God. Can you not play that game for 100 hours at a time and
Warframe?
Anywhere?
I have over 3,000 hours in Warframe.
God, that's not my
ridiculous amount of hours in Warframe. It's really
that's crazy.
But yeah,
I thought my Final Fantasy 14 hours are bad. Damn.
Yeah, it's not fun.
I guess my League of Legends is probably up in that area as well, man.
But again, would you want to play that game every day of the week, 5 times a day?
I mean, you can't answer that question on stream, because I'll tell you.
No, you definitely need variety as a streamer.
I have 40 people in the channel and 38 of them left. I would sit there and play League with the biggest smile on my face, but I gotta.
That's fine. Go for it. But I mean, having that fan base that is there for you instead of the game that you're playing is invaluable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Trust me.
Totally agree.
Yeah, agree. If we were like, it's really tough to keep an audience engaged. Like, it is tough. Like, having done events for guilds, it is not fun being that person trying to be the, it's like, this, we have to do this today, and we have to have at least, like in Guns of Icarus, you needed at least 8, 16 people in order to run something, right? And getting those 16 people all to show up in one time when they're all scattered across the globe is tough. Like, we had one person from Indonesia that showed up every week at 2 in the morning. That's tough to do. So,
one thing that I think is never brought up with the pros and cons of Mixers that I'm just thinking of right now is interactive. Interactive, but those interactive buttons have taken my stream to the next level, especially when my wife got involved. We have what's called the Nerf stream, and basically, I get shot in the face with a Nerf gun, and
hilarious.
That's fantastic.
It's fucking great. I love it.
But not only that, we stepped it up again, so we added buttons in interactive. We have one that's a 3-shot, one that's a 5-shot, and then you have what we call the 10-shot gun, but it's not 10 anymore. You can choose between the 100-round, 90-feet-per-second Nerf ball launcher, or you can choose between the 24-round, gigantic dart that leaves welts on my head.
I wonder what your boss says when you show up at work on Monday. What happened to your face?
Oh my gosh, yeah, I was telling my wife beat me.
That's funny.
But with those buttons, I've got all kinds of, especially with the new bots, the Mix It Up bot and stuff that they've added, I've got all kinds of really cool feedback on just the dumbest buttons you could possibly make just become the coolest thing that people just want to press over and over and over again. Jump scares, all kinds of good stuff.
That's funny. Yeah, Mixer has it built in, which is amazing. And that was a big draw for me for Mixer. FTL, the interactivity, huge draw to Mixer, because I feel like streaming should not be delayed. Streaming should be like, I'm talking to you. It should be real time. It should be no more than like 2-3 second delay. Like, hey, you say hi, I say hi back. It's like that, quick, here we go. So that was a big draw to me. Once Twitch brought that back in, and then now that I've learned how to script with like Streamlabs chatbot, you can kind of add that all into Twitch. So Streamlabs chatbot, you can install some programs, but the problem is it's not native to Twitch. So you have to go out of your way and take like an hour of your time to do all this type of different things for Twitch that people can type commands into your chat. And kind of like the same thing, like, oh, if I get a follow, we can type this command in your chat and I'll do something. I'll pop up the screen, or I'll drink something, or whatever it might be, when you type in that command. But the biggest thing that Mixer has over Twitch is that button right on the screen. All a person has to do is come over and click, and that is huge compared to typing !! power up or something like that, where it takes 3 extra seconds, where a click takes you all of a half a second to do. That's a big draw.
Absolutely. Whatever you do, don't eat or drink anything on the stream. That's disgusting.
But I love to eat and drink on a stream.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
Don't do that.
Those Bean Boozled things where they have stinky feet flavored jelly beans and spoiled milk and dead fish. Don't ever do that on a stream. I did that for a buddy's feature. And I got 30 follows that night. And I'm eating these things, and it's supposed to be a 50-50 shot in those boxes.
No, it's not.
There's no
bullshit.
50 shot in those boxes. I literally ate about 14 spoiled milks, and I almost broke TOS and lost my stomach right on stream, dude. It was the worst thing. Don't ever do that. It's terrible.
Nope. I did it at work. Here, have a bean boozled bean. I eat puke.
I don't know.
I think
that's pretty entertaining to me.
It is entertaining, but
hey, Riven, I have an idea.
I'll make a command for Bean.
Thank you, Fearless. Now I get to torture him more.
Thanks. It's been an awesome.
I'll
awesome
invite
night
Weird
tonight,
back.
Guys.
We can do more. Layers of Fear. That was my favorite stream of yours.
That was a great stream. I need to find another game like that.
Oh, that game was fantastic.
Layers of Fear.
The shit out of me. I hate
great
scary games.
It was a fantastic game. Me and
I screamed like a little girl. It was Artos and Weird in my Discord playing the game. And actually, no, it was just Artos. And then Weird popped in. Had no idea, because, Discord doesn't make a noise when someone joins the fucking channel.
Yes,
so
it
I'm
does.
Si-
it just didn't mention.
I didn't hear it then. I just must have not hear it. And I hear, look behind you. I was like, ah! I was like, fucking damn it, Weird.
Oh, that's awesome.
As long as they're not playing a horror game, I would totally do that.
No, that's exactly what he was doing. That's
yeah, that's what he was
fantastic
doing.
Fantastic.
Insane. It was great.
Yeah, I'm playing Paranormal Activity House in VR. And
okay.
Ooh, you're brave.
There are buttons on the channel now that people can press, and it's really loud and interactive in my ears, like I turned up on purpose. And our Wednesday night stream is called the Brown Pants stream for that reason, man.
Speaking of the Brown Pants stream, though, Resident Evil 2 is coming out, so you're probably going to have to stream that.
There you go.
Oh, good point. Yeah, I'll have to grab that.
I'm going to have to grab some extra sparks for that stream, apparently.
Yeah, I'll have to come visit you and make you poopy pants.
Yeah, I played the one-shot 30-minute demo the other night, and I am extremely surprised at how well optimized that game is. It's Metal Gear Solid 5 levels of optimization. It's so smooth, and it was absolutely problem-free. It didn't destroy my CPU or anything like that, so it's super, super streamable game.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
I downloaded that on PC.
Yeah, Capcom. Capcom's come a long way, man. They're an awesome company. Their Monster Hunter is just amazing, and now that the Resident Evils are coming out, oh, I'm so excited for Capcom making a big comeback. The Mega Man, if you played Mega Man 11, oh my god, so amazing.
Speaking of Monster Hunter, I'm gonna have to save up enough and get another copy.
Yeah, play on PC, come join us. Yes.
Yeah, come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Just keep in mind though, if you get Monster Hunter for the PC, it's very CPU intensive. So The best way to make it workable is turning volumetric fog off completely and then turn up the graphics as high as your graphics card can allow so it can pull more of the load off of the CPU. Because if you lower your graphics down, it'll make your CPU performance worse. Continue.
Good
Sorry.
To know. Thank you.
I should probably explain. My college, I'm going to school for programming. They're sending me like a $1,000 laptop. Right. It's not exactly like a labor-intensive computer.
For programming?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's like an HP something, but the reason it's like a grand is all the software that comes with it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Why would you need a grand of software for programming? What's the point?
C++, robot,
okay.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Get NetBeans and be done with it. That'll work. It's free.
The ultimate goal is that you'll eventually, one day, you guys will be talking about a game I made. So.
Oh, okay. Game programming. That's different. That's okay.
Have, oh, yeah. That's like
yeah,
Blender.
Please.
Oh, Blender, but
please tell me so I can shit on it. It'll be fun.
Nice, dude.
Please.
Okay.
Okay. I'm telling you now,
okay.
Just don't make
I see how it is.
It better not suck when it comes out on the shelf, man. That's
exactly.
Awesome. I'm going to play whether it sucks or not. I'm going to be that guy.
Just for you, I want to make sure it sucks hella hard.
Oh, God.
Because all we're right. Your friends, we have to play it on stream, right? That's the whole point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The whole point. Oh man! All right, so we're an hour and 40 minutes in, so we're gonna start wrapping this up, guys.
Okay. Having fun.
Yeah, I know. So am I. I'm having a great time. This is awesome.
My shameless plug. I'm gonna I know that.
Yeah.
I know that this is probably coming up tomorrow sometime, so it would be tonight, according to what the stream has been posted at. It would be tonight at like 8 Central. Yeah, 8 Central. I'm going to be streaming probably Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links. I don't know Twitch or Mixer yet, but I'm sure I'll let Riven know which one. He'll put a link to it in the bottom here.
Yes. Yeah. Mention where people can find you so they can listen to you in the podcast too. So where can they find you?
Definitely. They can find me at VehementCell on Twitch, and then it's Vehement_Cell on Mixer. And then on YouTube, that is under my legal name, which is Ryan Hellgren. Eventually, that will be go back to VehementCell YT.
I see. Okay, cool. Awesome. And Adventure Noodle, where can everyone find you?
For me, probably the best way to get a hold of me and all of my links is on my Mixer page, which is mixer.com/adventure_noodle. And in the description, I have links to everything else that I'm on. My YouTube, my Twitter, Patreon, everything else is over there. So if you go to my Mixer page, you'll find everything else there.
Awesome. And Fearless Leader, where can everyone find you?
If you want to find me on Twitter, it's Fearless Leader, @FearlessLeader. It is the hardest name to find because back when I made this, when Xbox first started, I wanted to be Leap, so I made all my E's and A's, 3's and 4's. So
I noticed. I was like, I'm going to have to try to find you on Mixer. I'm like...
tried, but someone has Fearless Leader without the 3's and 4's, so I can't do anything about it right now. But
Okay.
Right now, Twitter, at Fearless Leader. You can find me on Mixer at mixer.com/fearless_leader. You can find me on Instagram at Coffee with Fearless.
Coffee with Fearless, I like that. That's awesome.
I like that one better. You should use that as your Mixer name.
Artos, can anyone find you?
Can anyone find me?
No, okay.
Steam,
you have
Steam slash Artos. There we go. Done.
Okay, cool.
Friend me on
stalk you at. Got you.
Friend me on Steam. I'm also always on Mordot's Radio Discord.
Yeah.
There.
Yes, this man.
I'm always there lurking. I might not say anything, but I'm always there watching you. I know.
As long as you call him out,
he's like Santa.
Yeah. I'm always there watching.
We're like that 80s song.
I'm always watching, Wazowski.
Oh, God.
Always watching.
One of my favorite movies.
Seriously, Fearless, I typed your name into Mixer. I can't find you still.
I told you. It's impossible.
That's funny as hell.
You know,
I copied and pasted your name, and I still can't find you.
You, my
good man, have a branding problem.
Yeah, that is actually not the first time I've been told. In fact, my friends that I stream with on the stream team will actually tell me, Fearless, if you want to play, make sure you send me a message because I am not looking for you.
Guys, I, for one, awesome suggest time. The Coffee with Fearless. I just want to...
I
totally agree with that. I like that line. Coffee with Fearless is awesome.
That's a great one.
100%.
That's a great brand, too. So you get, like, a coffee with, like, a dead skeleton or something.
There you
or
go.
Like
maybe
a guy.
You can make your own coffee brand.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Done.
I like it.
Fearless
See?
Brand coffee.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Coffee with Fearless. There you go, dude. But guys, it's been an awesome night. I'm going to do a shameless plug. I'm at twitch.tv/RivenMDR or RivenMDR. It's tomato, tomato. It's been an awesome night. Thank you to Artos and Fearless and Venture Noodle and Vehemoth Cell coming out and hanging out for almost 2 hours. It's been a great – we had some great topics of conversation, I think. It's been an awesome night. I appreciate it, guys. So I hope you enjoyed. And I'm going to edit this tonight and put it out to anchor.fm. Anchor will then push it out to Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a bunch of other areas. And I'll send you guys the raw file so you can upload it to your YouTubes and wherever you want to put it. So it'll be yours to push out. I thank you guys for coming out. I appreciate
it. Thanks for having
me, Robin. Oh, no problem. Thanks for having
me. Yeah, anytime. So this is the first of many podcasts. I'm going to try to do this Saturday nights. The times might be different, depends if I have my kids or not. So tonight was a little bit later because I had to get my kids to bed. If I don't have my kids on the weekend, it might be do it a little bit earlier. We'll see the schedule. But I don't think we're going to be doing them live for a little bit because whenever I do them live, I seem to have major issues with audio. I just got to play around with it, see if I can get it working. Once I have it, feel like it's a good space, maybe I'll do some live podcasts and have a video I can send everyone and along with the raw audio, whoever want to upload it. But for now, I appreciate you guys again. Thank you all for coming out. But all right, guys, we're going to head on here. Thank you all much for listening. We appreciate it. And we'll catch you all guys next time. Peace out, everyone.